B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
With this virus, I do worry about, of all the sports, the one I worry about is baseball. Because baseball's a habit. If baseball doesn't play a season, we're going to go from October of 2019 to April of 2021 with no baseball. That is bad news for baseball. The NBA can overcome that. Why? Because the NBA's like Hollywood. They have stars. You ever notice that Matt Damon, he'll do like two or three movies, and for 3 years, it's all we talk about is Matt Damon. And then he'll go hang out with his family for 4 years, and we won't talk about him. And then he'll have two or three more movies, and he pops right back up. And everybody's talking about him. That's what stars can do. Denzel Washington goes 4 years, doesn't really, he's hanging out with his family. He doesn't see any scripts he likes. And then Denzel, year five or six, has two or three great movies. It's all we talk about. Because stars gain momentum quickly.
That's Colin Cowherd on FS1 talking about the possibility of baseball not having a season could be very damaging to the sport. That's Cowherd's take on it, that the risk for baseball is greater than any other sport, greater than the NBA, greater than the NFL, because those sports have stars and they have things that we want to see and people we want to see and people that grab our attention no matter what. If LeBron and the Lakers don't finish out the season, and we know how good they were and how they were, you know, likely going to be in the NBA Finals and everything that people say about LeBron and the Lakers this year, if they don't finish out the season, they don't play, and it's a decent amount of time before you see them again, when they come back, you're going to want to watch them right away. Everybody will.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to want to watch them. It's LeBron. You haven't seen LeBron play. Got to watch LeBron. Got to watch the Lakers. There are draws in that sport, and there are plenty of draws in the NFL that are going to bring people right back. The NHL, I put in a separate category because their fans are a smaller group, but they are a diehard group. They're coming back no matter what. They are. So they're a little different than the other sports. But is he right about baseball? Can baseball afford to not play from October of 2019 until, let's say, they don't have a season, and they shoot for April of next year.
Okay, when Rudy Gobert had his incident, and we started this whole coronavirus thing, I think we as a sports show all agreed that of the four major sports, what's the one that can't afford not to play, and it's baseball. We all said that, right? I mean, an agreement when we went down each sport, NFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, what's the one sport that can't afford this layoff? And it would be that one, because I think we get trained a certain way. Baseball's a sport you have on in the background, right? Like, it's hard to sit there for 162 games and just sit there at the edge of your seat and wait for every pitch and every hit. It's sorted on there. You'll fade in and out. Or when you play your big rival, you know, you're in for those three games. You'll watch every game. The other ones, you need to sort of sit there at the edge of your seat. I mean, NFL's different. 16 games, sucks you in. I agree with you on the hockey. I think there's it's a niche fan base.
Yeah,
those supporters will be back when it's back. They ain't going anywhere.
Yeah. The baseball diehards are like the hockey diehards. They don't care if anyone else watches. They're into their sport. Most people don't understand it the way they do, and they probably don't even want us talking about it. And blah blah blah. And you know, look, I think we all feel that way about, you know, certain sports and certain things where it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, we will be back. But for baseball especially, Zoe, you said it. And Maz has said this before, too. I think it's great. He said, you know, it was the national pastime. It was literally a way to pass the time.
There's that nothing
was,
else.
That was what, you know, that was what you did. And for a lot of people, baseball is still very much a passive viewing experience. Like you said, it's on in the background.
It's great.
Oh, it's summertime.
Simple. I remember going to my grandfather's house, Hardy. He had that transistor radio on outside. You remember listening to pirate games out there. And I was a kid at the time, but all you had were really Tonka trucks, bikes, and balls. Times, you laugh. Times were simple.
No, I did the same thing. There was a black transistor radio in the garage that my dad kept that Ernie Harwell was calling.
It's a hit thing.
Yeah.
Ernie Harwell calling the Tigers games. But people will find another way. People who enjoy baseball, even just as a pastime, if you give them a year off, they will find another way to pass the time. And sure. God forbid they find something else that they like better to do to pass the time. And people
back. It's not good for the sport. I mean, there's a reason, like, we talked about yesterday, like, they're pushing for May. We got to get going here. We got to figure out something. We got to get up and running.
But if they're lacking all these things right now in terms of superstars and, you know, a viable young fan base for it, what changes in a year? I don't think baseball is in a particularly healthy place right now. What is another year going to do for them? Or due to them and due to the sport that is so detrimental that they wouldn't be able to recover better than hockey or basketball or football. Basketball or football, I think those are the two big ones, and people like them. They're the superstars. Football is something that everyone seems to gravitate toward for a variety of reasons. But baseball, if they don't end up playing this year, is it going to be so severely hindered when they try and come back next season? Why? Yeah, it's a long time off. Well, there are no superstars. Well, there's no superstars now. What difference does another year make? It's not going to be good. The owner, the players want to get paid. The owners want to get paid. They want to maintain some kind of presence. But if they don't, how does it hurt them more than it hurts other sports?
Yeah, I would say that it could hurt them more than other sports, because I just think we're in a sort of a volatile time here. And if all of a sudden baseball goes a year, and I'd have to look at when their TV contract expire.
Yeah.
But I think there's a couple of things that happen. Baseball relies on the gate in a big way. It's more than, I think I read a number, like $10 billion in revenue on the gate in baseball. Let me firm that up for you. But they rely on the gate in a major way. And so the gate is important, and the gate is something that I think is going to be impacted for a while. So that's one issue. And then the other thing would be, if you go a year without playing, does that thing that you just described, Hardy, start to happen? Where you say, you know what? I just went an entire summer without baseball, and I was fine. You know, I like baseball, but my summer was fine without baseball.
Yeah.
And maybe next summer, I just don't care as much or don't watch as much.
Well, that's what I said at the beginning. It's like people will find another way to pass the time.
And so I think as the fan base continues to get older and all the problems that you, again, talked about and said already existed, if it gets exacerbated, all of a sudden you've got a situation over the next couple of years where their TV partners are saying, you know what? We're not paying you this money anymore. Why the hell are we paying you all this cash? Because their TV contracts are currently ridiculous. And so I think it could just impact their finances at some point in the next few years as a result of having missed a season and people's habits changing. So it may not be an immediate thing where, you know, the sport falls apart, but it could do some significant damage. Or what it really would be doing, Hardy, is accelerating the damage that has already begun. And so we've all talked about, where's baseball in 5 years? Where's baseball in 10 years? Does it exist in 20 years? We have asked those questions because young people don't care about the sport. I think all of a sudden, if you make someone in the middle not care about the sport, not young people, not the old people that are always in on baseball.
You're right,
but
Pete,
all of a sudden, if you've got that mix, that tweener group in the middle that starts saying, yeah, I was good without baseball. I like it. I grew up with it, but, you know, I'll be fine watching less of it. I think then all of a sudden you're just speeding up that process. What was a slow death is now all of a sudden becoming a fast death for baseball. So they got to be careful. I'm with Coward. Not so much about the stars. I think there is some truth in that. Like, stars definitely help, and baseball lacks them. But does baseball lack stars because it lacks stars, or does baseball lack stars because they lack people that are as in tune and passionate with their sport as people are with the other sports?
That's a good point there.
I think it's a chicken or the egg type of thing with baseball. Like, you know, the NFL has stars because everyone really cares and gives a lot of time and energy to the NFL. The same is absolutely true of the NBA. People aren't doing that in baseball. They're not watching out-of-market games. They don't care about the guys on the other teams. And I think that's part of the issue.
That's a good point for like a guy like Trout. Like I sit here and I recognize that guy's a star. I know he is a star. But there's nothing that he does that drives me to say, boy, I want to watch this guy play in this game against that team. Unless it's your team. You know what I mean? And see, those other sports have that lore. Like you'll hate watch LeBron. You'll tune in. If you don't like LeBron, you're going to root for whatever team's playing him.
Right.
You know, football.
Right, you have guys you root against.
I'll turn on a random Thursday game.
Even, is that what you're saying?
What's that?
Like, when you really care about a sport, there are guys you don't like and you want to root against.
Yes. Yes. Right? There's no, what villains are out there? Like, that's what you loved about the Yankees Red Sox thing was that villain type, you know, rivalry that you had. Yeah. It's Yankees Red Sox, but it's not like what it was.
617-779-0985. This is in the mix as we move forward here. Can baseball afford to lose a season? The NFL draft is coming up now in a couple of weeks. They seem to have a lot of fears about how it's logistically going to go down. The league is going to take every measure to make sure it goes okay. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. There's been a lot talked about with the NFL draft, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, as it will be very different from previous years. Everyone's going to be at home. Everyone's quarantined. Everyone's sitting in their living rooms making the draft. I'm just very curious as to how this all looks, because I think the NFL has a great opportunity here. Let's see if they could pull it off or not. It's not going to be as maybe in-depth and involved as it could have been, but it's still, I think, got a chance to be pretty good. I do. I think if the NFL is smart and their TV partners help them on this, I think they could make something that is interesting and we'll all remember as highly unusual because of the time. So we'll see what happens. I would love it, by the way, if some of these coaches are able to be, like, on camera and sitting in their living room wearing like a t-shirt and sweatpants.
I just want to see Belichick eating with a pencil behind his ear.
Right?
Belichick just having like a plastic plate, you know, just a cheap plastic plate with like corn chips on it. And just.
Yes. Like if all of a sudden they go to.
Someone of them picking her nose, doing something, just coaching stuff.
Sean Payton and he's wearing shorts and a t-shirt and he's eating a bowl of Easy Mac. That to me would be great.
Or Andy Reid. Andy Reid sitting there in Kansas City barbecue. Licking his fingers like he's big ribs.
Take
Hold
that
on,
guy.
I gotta finish, give me some more coleslaw.
take that guy right there. Yeah, that looks good. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. But Hardy, as you pointed out this morning as we were talking before the show, these guys are very worried about this not working. They sound fearful of their technology, which, again, is no different than anything anybody else who's at home right now working remotely is using. They sound very fearful.
Well, yeah, and that's
maybe they listen
to
DeBrady.
That's the problem, because you heard Tom
Chris
Brady and Howard. Yeah, Tom Brady and Howard Stern this morning. They're afraid of, you know, but before that even happened, of having like, wow, this is big. You have people all over the country listening in on this thing, and it sucked. They had to scrap it and just do it over the phone. But my issue is they're so fearful of what not working. What do they really need to do to do the draft? What has to be able to happen? Teams have to know who's picking what, and the commissioner needs to know what your pick is. Do they need anything else?
Yeah, but if they crack in, what they're worried about is, like, hacks. Like, okay, who they talk to? Why are they on the phone with that team? Why are they trying to trade this guy? Where all of a sudden you're starting to hear, chatter about, okay, we could listen in on them. They're talking virtually on this thing. We could crack into their Zoom or whatever the hell they're using. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, oh, wow, there are these three kids from Auburn. We didn't have them. Hurry up. Get on our board.
Yeah.
Well, the more shenanigans.
Well, the more stuff you incorporate, the more chance there's going to be of something going wrong. But, I mean, does it need to be anything other than like a live broadcast of the commissioner, announcing who just picked what? And then you sitting around with your guys and say, okay, we're going to pick him. And then you send that into the commissioner. And he just it's not going to make for great TV necessarily. But if you're bouncing back and forth between the announcements and the guys commenting on it and analyzing it, what do we need to see every GM and every coach?
Yeah. Like, we don't need absolutely. Bare minimum, you don't need it. But it will be great if you do, which will make it better. But if that somehow fails, then okay, you move on without it, and the draft will survive.
I can't wait to see how they're going to do this. I just can't wait.
Mike Garofalo said the NFL considered timeouts if teams experienced technical issues during the draft but decided they weren't necessary.
Just text it. Wouldn't it be great if the commissioner just had a bat phone? Okay, here's my cell phone. You 32 coaches have it. What you do is you got a 15-minute clock. You will text me to my phone only. What player are you going to take?
And I'm going to read it right. Seriously, that's what it has to be. Like,
can it be that simple?
32 teams get this one phone number, and it's a landline, okay? Forget about the bat phone. Forget about the burner phone. Nope. This is the phone number you call. And however you verify, or every team has a different number, whatever. But everyone has to get their pick in, and then it's announced, and that's it. Via a secure phone call or a secure email. It doesn't have to be, we're worried about not all the cameras working at the same time.
Right.
Who needs them? You don't need it. Show is not going to be – the show is supposed to be awesome this year. 400,000 people out on Las Vegas Boulevard watching people ferry to and from the stage in the middle of the Bellagio Fountain. Well, forget all that. Now it's going to suck. The show's going to suck this year. Are you going to be able to make your picks? Yes, as long as you don't get too cute with it, you'll be able to make your picks, and it'll be fine.
And I would just add to this that, they – are not going to put the timeouts in. They're going to do a mock draft with all 32 teams participating.
You got to do a run through.
In a mock draft to make sure all the systems are a go.
Right.
So they're fearful of something not working. They want to do a mock draft. The Steelers have suggested that they add three rounds to the draft. Which you say, what? What do you mean, three rounds to the draft?
I trust them based on how they've picked receivers over the years. Yeah.
Throw three. They
want what they're doing.
Really? You think that's a good idea to add three more draft rounds?
Well, I think it gives you three more players to pull from. If we can't have our normal process as to how we go after guys, give us a bigger pool of guys to draw from. Yeah. There's no guarantee those bottom three are going to make the team anyway.
I think that's painful to have three more rounds of the draft. In fact, my advice would be to everybody involved is make sure you get your pick in before the end of your time. They were talking about using timeouts. You get so much freaking time to begin with. What do you mean you need timeouts for technical difficulties? Bull crap. In fact, the league better hold true on the time restriction. If you don't get your damn pick in, we're moving on.
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen.
All you got to do is have Goodell there at a central location. You got to have somebody that he can keep in contact with that is monitoring all 32 on a video conference. So that when that pick comes in, all 32 of those teams know who's picking who as this Goodell. And that way you cross your T's, you dot your I's, and make sure that pick matches up. Then you announce the pick. Like, this sounds simple. But I bet it's not.
617-779-0985. We'll go to your phones with Pete in Delaware. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Thanks for taking
my call, as always. Hey, as far as your MLB talk... there was a really good article in the New York Times, Mark Stein wrote about 2 weeks ago about the NBA and the fact that a lot of the executives would welcome a schedule change, like right now, as far as if they went into ending their season in August and then reopening in December. And they actually got one of the the Atlanta Hawks guy, the president, said they would welcome competing head-to-head with the MLB over dealing with college football in the NFL. And I just wonder if that ever happened. That could really hurt baseball as far as you guys are talking about with their TV contracts, because I bet that would hurt the ratings, especially with basketball playing baseball.
Yeah, it could, but it could also be the jolt that baseball needs. Where, guess what, baseball? You're not the only game in town now. You have another major sport to compete against, which for most of their time, they don't. Most of the time that baseball is happening, they don't have... I mean, I know they do through the early part of their season, you know, through the NHL and NBA playoffs and finals. MLB is going on at that time. But when MLB gets into the full swing of its season, it's July and August, and there's nothing else going on. And in their, you know, important months, and you can even throw September in, the NFL's just getting going with college football at that time, it feels like baseball has too much time where they don't have to compete against anybody. That's what it feels like. And so they're in a lot of markets where there are no teams in the NBA playoffs or NHL playoffs, where they can be the only game in town in markets. They should have to compete, and if they do, maybe it forces them to change and be better, is what it does. Forces them to really change the way they go about playing their sport. And I think you've already seen some of that. I mean, I know that they're saying the electronic strike zone is for social distancing. I think it's probably someone who's saying, we have to do this because of social distancing, while knowing it's probably best for their sport. It's probably something that is better for the sport and maybe moves it along. I'd like to figure out a way that we can say the pitch clock is a requirement because of everything that's gone on. Oh, we need the fields. We need the fields. There's too many teams here in Arizona. We need the fields. We've got to move the games along. Pitch clock is in. This is the time for Manfred to make some dramatic changes. Right?
Right.
Remember, like, playing Little League when the field, you know, you'd have, like, a 9 a.m. game? There'd be another one scheduled at noon with two other teams coming in. So finish up your game.
It's amazing how quickly you can play, yeah, when there's a clock on it. Yeah.
Right.
How's that, Coach Louth? How's that one working?
I don't know how they're going to disinfect all the areas, though, for the teams changing places. They're going to have time in between, all seriousness.
Well, the dugouts aren't going to be used, so that's one thing.
They're going to use different sections for. Is it going to be the NCAA tournament where each team has their own section of people?
Yeah, you're going to spread out in the stands. They said
no. They're going to spread out in the stands. Is what they're doing.
That's what I'm saying. Are they going to give each team their own sections like they do in the NCAA tournament with the fans?
Yeah, right behind the dugout.
Yeah, you could. You definitely could do that. It wouldn't be that hard to do.
So a team starts strolling in. They roll into section 105 and sit behind home plate and watch them play. Watch the team before that?
Yeah, it's like Cooperstown with the Little League kids.
It'd be great. That'd actually be great on TV, too. Like, you know.
Yeah, guys out there stretching beetle. Everybody wears their same. Jim, you know this about, like, traveling gear. You guys all get
back. Gotta take all
backpacks.
Cell phones and video equipment off of the players right before they enter the stadium. That's going to have to be mandatory now.
That's
nobody's
right.
Going to have a phone in the stands watching the game.
Because you can't be filming out there.
Why?
You don't want anybody videotaping anything for the next, if they play them down the road, they want to videotape for signals and all that stuff.
Oh, because of signs.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but what could you videotape from behind home plate?
I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
They're very creative in MLB. I have no idea. I didn't think they could do what they were doing, but they are.
You can't see the – now, if there are guys sitting in center field, I'd be concerned. But if you're behind home plate, I don't know. I don't think it's a big deal. But 617-779-0985. We'll get to more of your calls on both Major League Baseball and, of course – the Brady interview with Stern today, the NFL being very concerned about their technology ahead of the draft. All of those items are on the table. Also, Kevin Garnett is very upset with the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's a story out there today making some headlines. We'll tell you what it is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
biggest question of everyone here, before we get into the particulars of Kevin Garnett, would you want Kevin Garnett as a co-owner of your team?
Would it matter a whole lot? I mean,
no, I don't think of him as an owner. No.
50-50, Hardy. He's making decisions with you.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
He's responsible for keeping the clients and sponsors happy. Do you want that guy as an owner of your team?
No.
I don't either. I mean, I love him as a player. How could you not? I think he's crazy.
He can offend somebody with his language. That's what I would worry about. Clients like, ooh, we don't talk that way at home.
So could you... Could you understand why someone would not want him as the owner of their, to welcome him in as a partner of their team? And by the way, I think most former players as owners or part of an ownership group or leading a team on behalf of a number of investors, I think they all suck. I think.
Well, look at Jordan. Look at Magic. Yeah.
Are they good at it?
No.
No.
But Magic, I think
Derek Jeter in the Marlins, they're going to suck.
Yeah. Jordan, why do you want to do it? Just go.
Like, Elway's a little different. Elway's a little different because he's not, like, part of ownership. He's just the GM.
Yeah,
even that, though, I don't love the former player stuff. I think players are great players. That doesn't necessarily make them great executives. And I think there's, like, they get opportunities that otherwise they would never have had because they were great on the field. Doesn't mean they're good business people at all. Far more athletes have proven to be horrible business people and horrible at managing finances than they have been proven at doing a good job of that. So in general, I hear players being involved in management and I go, yeah, I don't know if that's really necessary. But anyway, Kevin Garnett's pissed at the Minnesota Timberwolves. He doesn't want his number retired. What do you make of this?
I think it's number one, you're not allowed to be offering up ownership stakes to a player who is, you know, currently on your payroll. And this was discussed. How many times did we talk about this? How many phone calls did we take about
Brady.
Tom Brady?
Brady.
And well, why don't the Crafts just offer him 1/100th of the team? And so, because you can't do that. That counts toward as compensation. You can't do that. So number one, I'm surprised that this was talked about at least as openly as Kevin Garnett is willing to talk about it now. And second of all, yeah, there may be an issue between him and current ownership in terms of, you know, what was promised to him and what they're willing to do now. I just don't see what one has to do with the other. Retiring your jersey is, to me, isn't that big of a favor to ownership. That's something that the fans want. That's something that is maybe good for the brand. And unless he wishes ill on all things Minnesota Timberwolves, then fine, I get it. Don't let him or don't participate in the retiring of his jersey. But number one, they don't need him there if they really want to retire his jersey. That's number one. And number two, how does this help or hurt them if you're standing in the way of them retiring your jersey? I mean, you just don't want to have anything to do with them at all? Because I don't think there's like huge monetary gains to be had by retiring someone's jersey. I mean, what am I missing here?
Yeah. Right. So, by the way, the background on this is that he's upset with owner Glenn Taylor because he once worked out an arrangement with former coach Flip Saunders for Garnett to join the team's front office and or ownership group after he retired. Once Saunders died in 2015, Garnett said Taylor backed out of the deal. He says, quote, at this point, I don't want any dealings with Glenn Taylor or Taylor Corp or anything that has anything to do with them. I'll always have a special place for the city of Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota in my heart, but I don't do business with snakes, is what he said. And
there's a mofo in there too, right?
What's that?
There was a mofo in there somewhere too, right?
Oh, yes, there was.
Yeah.
It was a mo... Not
mofo
faux.
Snake.
It was no. It was spelled out better than that.
Yeah,
in the quote I read,
it's the full quote was, "I don't do business with snakes. I don't do business with snake, ma bleeper. I don't do business with openly snakes or people who are snake-like. So,
it almost sounds like Mike Tomlin. You speak to the snake and the way it twists its body, the snake-like figure. Yeah, this is where you get a little crazy, Kevin.
And so, obviously, he was still a player. He was still a player. And so, you know, league rules prevented Taylor from having any real actual discussions with Garnett at the time. It was all through Flip Saunders, who was sort of like the go-between, who sort of floated the idea to Kevin Garnett. So nothing was like firmed up. And so then after Flip Saunders died, Glenn Taylor, you know, later on gets a chance to talk to Garnett and doesn't really offer what Garnett thought he was offering. And so now he's calling him a snake. Says Glenn Taylor is a snake. I don't blame Glenn Taylor. I don't. There's obviously a mix-up in communication, but players in management and in ownership, I think it's overrated. I don't think it's the best decision. I don't. That's what I think. So I don't blame the Timberwolves for feeling this way and for Glenn Taylor for feeling this way. But Garnett's wrong. He should let them retire his number. You're right, Hardy. That has nothing to do with the owner.
No, and I mean, I don't know what the gist of their conversation was between Flip and Kevin Garnett back in the day and, you know, how much of it was, yeah, I'd really like to see you do this, or absolutely 100% you are going to have a long-standing relationship with this organization. You are going to be in a high-level position. And if that was the case, you should have got it in writing. He should have had it, you know, more than just a handshake, you know, man of his word, because, well, maybe that's what he wanted. But if it's not what any new regime wants, how are you going to hold it against the entire team? How are you going to hold it against the fans that you know, some people are really into that stuff? And it makes sense for Kevin Garnett to have – it makes way more sense for Kevin Garnett to have his number retired with the Minnesota Timberwolves than it does with the Boston Celtics. I mean, that's what – that's –
I was saying, how much money has he made with the Timberwolves? Like, that's the bulk of your career, man.
Or even just what he meant to that organization. You know, it was a huge part of what happened here in 2008.
So what, he's supposed to be thankful to Glenn Taylor because he made a lot of money in his career?
No, if you want to have your jersey retired, he's all too willing to have his number retired as a member of the Boston Celtics. Do we agree on that?
Yeah, because he won here,
and the Celtics are a more storied franchise than the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, it's better for Kevin Garnett to have your number retired as a Celtic than it is as a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm not saying he's using this as an excuse, but believe me, if the Timberwolves had the cachet that the Celtics did in the overall standing and history of the league, and had he won there, his jersey be up in those rafters. But he's using the rift as an excuse as to, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing business with snakes. Well, this isn't business. This is honoring you. Do you want to be honored? No, not by those people. Okay. Well, I'm sorry you didn't get a job, some BS position as assistant to the general manager. You know, if that's what you're counting on, maybe he was counting on the income post-retirement. I don't believe that's the case either. He feels slighted. And you know, this is
that chip. This is what makes Kevin Garnett great, is he takes a chip and he magnifies that chip and he uses it to motivate himself and pisses himself off. It's typical Kevin.
It's a great example of like an unintended or an even non-existent slight or a showing of disrespect can have way more serious consequences than an actual disagreement. If they could sit down at a table and hash this thing out, you know, it's an old Jimmy Hoffa line, real grievances can be resolved. But, you know, for this, no, he said I was going to be this. Now this guy won't let me. Did he? Is this guy really not doing it? Is this all real, or is this, you know, maybe just a tiny bit in Kevin Garnett fantasy land where you thought you were going to be part owner of the team one day because you were a player there? I mean, let's you know, deal with this like adults. Show me in writing where you had a front office position for life or part ownership in the team, because I doubt that exists, and he just feels it's owed to him now. And since he's not getting it, no, I'm not playing along with my jersey retirement. It's juvenile.
More of your calls coming up next, 617-779-0985. And more on Tom Brady's interview with Howard Stern coming up at noon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Say you don't know me. I recognize my face. 617-779-0985. Let's get back to some of the sound from the Brady Stern interview this morning. We have a lot more to play for you from that interview. Different stuff that we haven't played to this point. Let's go to your phones. Connor is in Providence today. What's up, Connor?
Hey, I was just calling in to talk about baseball. First time, long time, so have mercy on me.
All right, go ahead.
So, speeding up the game. I think casual fans don't really like to watch because it's so slow. And you guys were talking about how if they have to share fields, you have to put a time limit on the game. So, put in the pitch clock, set a maximum length of the game, so 2 hours, 3 hours. But to incentivize people to hit, change the way they score a little bit. So, if the Red Sox score two runs, the Yankees score one in a game, the Red Sox get a point over the Yankees for that game. So you get a point for a game one, points for the run differential, and then points.
No. Hanging up. No. No. How about we start with the simple stuff that we know could make a really big impact on the game? Let's start with the pitch clock. Let's put that in now. Let's do that. And move the game along. And by the way, this electronic strike zone they say they're going to use, I want that baby to be big. I want them to have to protect all of the plate from the knees to the nips, all the way, baby.
Whoa.
Okay? You got to make sure that strike zone is a full-sized strike zone. That's what you need. Up and down, left and right. Protect that plate. Start swinging the bat, boys.
Make t-shirts, Beetle.
Start swinging the bat.
Knees and nips. Make the t-shirts.
I was just waiting for him to say, also, you could kick a 50-yard field goal
right.
for 4 points.
Right.
If you fought a 5,000-pound duck versus 5,000 one-pound ducks. Unbelievable.
So, you know what? The problem is you're going to have all those strikeout numbers. Like you've had for a few years now, but the game will move. The game will move, and maybe guys focus a little less on their launch angle and a little more on making contact. You know, back when baseball was popular. That's all. Remember that? Remember when guys were trying to get? Yeah, remember that? Guys wouldn't be looking for the perfect pitch; they'd be looking to put the ball in play and try and get on base. Back when the sport was again very popular. Blair's in Maine. Blair says he's never going to stop watching baseball. Blair. No, he's not there. Open phone lines. You want to grab one. 617-779-0985. A point for
Not even listening.
A point for the run difference. No.
No, he was on to something.
What if you
he
gave something 0.75 for war?
Way too quick on the trigger for that guy, Beetle. That's on
no,
you.
No. I mean,
what
you're going to have
for slugging percentage.
You're going to put a system in place that nobody even can follow? Like, forget it. We're going to get out the pen and paper to do math to figure out what just happened?
That guy had ideas.
I don't think that's the best way to market your sport. I would disagree with that vehemently. Oh, 617-779-0985 is the phone number for you. Anyway, hey, quickly, Zoe, you see the Falcons' new uniforms?
Yeah,
I wanted to bring this up at
they're
a random point
freaky.
Today.
This is embarrassing. We have a minute here. This is embarrassing because they came out, and I have it on my phone, they have like four different uniforms. I don't know why they need four different ones. Now, all of a sudden, they're taking the airport code, ATL, and that's going to be across the front of their jerseys. They've gone to a matte helmet, which is awful to begin with. I love the shiny helmets. They had a great helmet, black, jet black helmet, shiny with the big Falcon thing on the side. What was wrong with their uniforms?
Nothing.
Nothing. They had a great uniform.
Don't they
you
feel like
they
a
did?
Team that
they
changes said, their uniform every three, four
they,
years?
This team has no freaking identity, and they have to do it in that city because the fan base sucks. Sports fans down there in Atlanta, Murray will talk about it. It's awful. You have to do these things to entertain them. You do. Yeah, I remember doing a game there when it was the when it was the Georgia Dome. And Bob and I are sitting there looking, and they're shooting stuff off it in between quarters and during timeouts to keep engaged. It was like a minor league baseball stadium. It was. And I'm like, this is an NFL game. It's back to the Tlaib game down there when he shut out Julio Jones. They took the numbers, the awful numbers that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had, and they said, we'll take them since you're changing your uniforms to a damn good one. So the Buccaneers improve their uniforms, and Tampa goes down to crapper. They look like some whack team from out west. You know, the white ones, they have nothing but white socks to the top of their knees. I don't know what they're trying to do or trying to sell.
I'm looking at all the times that they've changed their uniforms. They changed their uniforms in 1997,
yep.
In 2003, in 2004, in 2009.
They should worry about the football team and not their uniforms so much.
I'm guessing
it looks
changed,
like four
they tweaked it in 2012.
It looks
it feels
like, four
like they change it all the time.
Like, why do you need two different pairs of pants? Four different jerseys. It's ridiculous. They look terrible.
These are horrible. And they've got good, you know, base colors here. Black, red, white. Like, those
yep.
are...
Texan-like. Texans.
Right? You can work with those colors.
Yeah, how many times Texans change their uniforms? Not much, right? Texans got it down. The Texans know what they're doing more than you do. That stupid number two on Matt Ryan's chest with that dumb arc at the top of it.
But you know what made me sad? Do you know what made me sad seeing these uniforms today? Knowing how desperate and pathetic teams like the Falcons are,
what?
Is that are the days of the Patriots killing franchises over? That made me a little sad. Like the Patriots
killed
franchise
on their uniforms. You know?
Like they killed the Texans, they killed the Falcons. Teams that have just never recovered from having the Patriots run right through them. You know,
look at
the Rams. How the Rams been recently? How'd they do last year?
Killed
terrible.
Them.
Now they got a terrible logo to go with it.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots have had a run of ending franchises. And I don't know if that's going to be true anymore.
It's true.
I got to say, though, I do not mind the mad helmets. In fact, I like them.
Hate
I know you
hate
guys hate them.
Not in sports.
The jerseys are awful, the ATL, all that other stuff. But those mad helmets, they do it for me almost every time.
It's nothing like walking in a stadium and seeing those stadium lights on a shiny helmet like at Dallas or Green Bay or Pittsburgh like that. Those helmets pop, man.
Yeah, over
they don't not in the mat. Look at Minnesota. What's it done for them? Ugh.
Did you guys see not you guys, but Zoe, do you see Hardy's golf bag back there?
Yeah, I've seen he's moved it like four times to get it more in the picture.
Kelly Anderson requested that I move it because it has a Sports Hub logo on it, and they wanted to have the Sports Hub logo in the shot. So that was a request from Kelly Anderson.
Got an email from a listener.
That's good. Kelly's
Andrew,
working. Nice.
Who says, Beetle, I noticed Hardy moved his Callaway bag.
Yeah.
His Callaway staff
like,
bag.
Yeah.
So everyone could see his name.
Yes.
He says, I'm a golf pro.
Send more clubs.
He says, I'm a golf pro. That bag should say Hardo, not Hardy.
We got you, Hardy.
What's his name?
Andrew.
Where is he a golf pro?
I'll look it up. I'll find out. I'll email him back. And he says, it's for Hong pros?
Hong?
What does that mean?
Like William Hong?
H-O-N-G? Is that some sort of... He says, it's for pros only to have your name on your bag, not for 15 handicaps.
Yeah, well,
said.
That why do you think
Zoe
it's in
my
office? I've never, ever taken it out on a golf course, ever. It was a nice gift from Callaway.
Yeah.
It's got a
great.
Sports Hub logo on it. I didn't order it. I didn't buy it. It was a gift.
Kelly's very nice. Very nice.
Zoe's got three staff bags.
Yeah, I do.
He is a he's down in Marshfield, from what I can see here, Artie.
At what golf course?
Marshfield Country Club.
Marshfield.
I'm going to look him up right now. See who the Hardo is.
That's probably like an executive course.
Chuck's
pitch and putt down in Marshfield.
That's what he's got for you, though.
Come on down. You get a free clam plate.
By the way, that's not some sort of staff bag that they handed out to everybody. Zoe, did you get one?
I did.
Oh,
never mind. Is it Andy Wade? Is that his name, Beetle?
Yeah.
Oh.
The assistant pro?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.